bye week. The Buccaneers return. Buccaneer football is back this Sunday. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Butts UK podcast. I'm Alex, and join me on this week's episode, I've got Pete and Graham. Hello, gents. Good to have you.
You all right?
Evening.
So this is going to be almost a mini Bucks bite for you this week, as of course we have no game to review. So we are going to be looking at, of course, the Cleveland game that is coming up on Sunday. We're also going to be revealing, or should I say, spinning our wheel of names to find out who wins the bi-week competition that we held on the Bucks UK forum, and then we'll get our Pete and Graham's thoughts on the remainder of the season as well. Before we dive into it, I'm just going to say, as I usually do, please make sure you smash that like button. The likes really do help us. So to all those who already do that, we really are appreciative. Thank you ever so much. If you don't do that, please go and hit that like button. Make sure you're subscribed and hit that bell so you're notified every time we upload. We're also on the socials. Our links are in the description below. Please come check us out. And as always, a huge thanks to Bucks Report for helping us to promote our podcast. Their links are also in the description below. So Pete, Graham, again, thank you for joining me. It's great to see you both. Of course, it's the first time I've seen you since Munich, Munich was discussed in our previous episode. So if you've not watched that, please go and check it out. Watch this one first, then go and check that one out. Kieran is your host on that one. But guys, I'd just like to get your thoughts quickly about the Munich trip and how you found the whole experience. Graham, I'll come to you first.
The experience in Munich was incredible. Yeah. I've been a member of the Bucks UK fan club for something like 30 years, maybe in fact it is 30 years now. And I've known some of the guys all that time. So to meet up with these good friends, like-minded individuals and good people, all in the one place at the one time is always a great experience. Plus, of course, meeting up with newer members and guys like yourselves who I've only really met, but online, it was just such a good 3 or 4 days. I barely drank any alcohol at all for those 4 days.
Yeah. I didn't see a single beer touch your lips, Graham. Yeah. Didn't see it.
I actually went back through all the photographs, and there are only about 3 photographs without beer in them. So I don't. But when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Germany, drink beer. So we did. We enjoyed it. Football was great as well. I have to own up and say that I've seen the Bucks 12 or 13 times in my lifetime. I haven't seen them win since about 1997. Believe it or not, so I've been a bit of a bad owner, excellent me. But that was great to get a win. Great to get a win.
Absolutely, yeah. Pete, what was the experience like for you?
It was the same. It was an incredible experience. It was so good to meet people in person that you speak to on the forum and speak to through social media and stuff. Just have those connections, have those laughs, carry that on from the forum into real life and still have the same banter. And that. No, it was brilliant. And the game was just unreal. To see us finally get off to that sort of like quick start and put some points on the board felt really good. So all round, I've been moping around for the last week or so, missing the experience again, wanting to go back in time to do it all again because it's so good. I definitely recommend anyone that hasn't gone to any meetups to come along to them because it's so good getting to meet everyone and share the passion in person with people.
Absolutely, and one thing we should say is that it wasn't just Bucks UK who were there. We met the people from Bucks Germany as well, which is fantastic. But we could talk about that for hours and hours. But as I say, that was just discussed in more detail on our previous episode. So if you want to hear more about the trip to Munich, go and check that episode out when you get a chance. As usual for our members, we had our competition that is held weekly on the forum. This one was our bi-week competition. And the question that was set for our members to answer was which team playing in week 11 on Sunday or Monday will score the most points? And we weren't including the Thursday night football game. Now, the correct answer in our a competition in this instance was the 49ers, because it was actually Dallas, though, who were the highest scoring, but no one on our forum went for Dallas. So Adam, who you've seen on our podcast many times before, who runs our competitions, had to go to the second highest scoring team. And three people guessed the 49ers. That was Sonny Blackmore, Taylor Wilde, and Alex Howell. So, of course, there's only one way we can decide a winner. It's time to go to our wheel of names to see which one of these three are going to win the prizes.
Justin.
And it's Taylor. Taylor, congratulations. Well done for winning our competition during the bye week. There's going to be some great prizes on their way to you very soon. Okay, Graham and Pete, let's go and look ahead to the game against Cleveland on Sunday. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff here in the UK. But the Buccaneers are traveling to the First Energy Stadium. Cleveland currently 3-7, coming off a defeat to the Bills. Pete, how do you see this one potentially panning out?
I think we've got a good chance. I think a really good chance, because they've got some injuries in their O-line, even in their defense, they've got some injuries. So they're a bit knocked up at the minute. Plus with, you know, Brissett being the QB, he's been doing well, but obviously he knows that he's about to probably lose it to Deshaun Watson soon. So yeah, there's got to be a bit of unsettlement knowing that you're either playing to try and outdo Deshaun Watson and keep the spot, or whether you're going to lose out. So it'd be interesting to see it. But I think we've got a great chance to come off Munich and beat, you know, beating the Rams and stuff, to be in a place of where we should be in. We should be really up for this.
We'll discuss Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett a bit more shortly, definitely. But before we do, Graham, I mean, you know, Pete's mentioned an injury to Cleveland's O-line, which is certainly going to affect the quarterback. But I don't know if you've had a look at, or if you've seen the unofficial depth chart that will come from Cleveland. All their starters generally are there, so it could still be quite a tough game.
Yeah, I think they are the main reliance of the Browns is on the running game. And is it Chubb, the guy's name? He's closing in on 1,000 yards already this season. So I think that a big kind of chunk of how well we do is going to be based on how we deal with him. And if we can stop him and make them, I mean, probably say this every week, but more so when they are so heavily loaded in the running game. If we can stop him, I think we've got a really good chance of winning the game. And I think, you know, defensive line, but just looking at some of the figures there, since Akeem Hicks was playing, when he plays, we allow 70 yards per game on the ground. When he doesn't play, we allow 148 yards on the ground. So, you know, that again, that's a big key for us. So I think if he's playing, if we manage to stuff the run, I think we've got a really good chance. That they did hold Chubb to just... the Bills held them to, I think, to 20 yards or so this week. So I think it can be done. And if there's a team that can stop the run, it's got to be the Tampa Bay Bucks. Got to be.
And, you know, I was saying about the O-line, and Pete was saying about the loss of their centre as well. You've got to think that it's only one part of the O-line, but to me, that if it's your centre, you're losing the integral man there. I mean, I'd love to think that we are, particularly Vita Vea, is going to have a field day against whoever's coming at centre. And that has got to give us a chance to stop Nick Chubb. It's got to, surely.
Yeah, well, we've seen, having lost our centre at the start of the season, we know how hard it is to fill that gap. It's very difficult. And to be fair to Hainsey, he's done, I think, over the piece, he's done a really good job. I think that maybe kind of left guard, right guard have been a bit more spotty, and that's where the trouble's been for us on the offensive line. But I think... losing that centre is definitely a big issue for them, and hopefully we see that on the game on Sunday.
You know, you say about the Browns running game, Graham, you know, Nick Chubb, 923 yards on the season already. We know his quality. Now I look at our run game. Fournette is our leading rusher. he's got 462 yards, and that's the most we've got from one back. In total, this is where it gets really quite depressing. In total, we've got 707 rushing yards. Nick Chubb has more than that, and he's one player. We've got to get this run game. It's a key part.
I think we're on the up. I think we are on the up. I think the offensive line's starting to get their act together now, and I think Leverett coming in is making a big difference there.
Definitely.
But we're starting to see a lot better protection on Tom Brady. We're starting to see a lot more holes in the for the running game. And I think we're also in the running game starting to see the rise of Rashad White. And that's really nice to see, because we were really with high hopes for him. And I think he's starting to find his feet in the NFL. And with the offensive line starting to operate a little bit better now, we're starting to see what he can do. I'm really pleased. And I think that our running game, as bad as it's been up to now, is definitely on the up.
Pete Graham's said about Rashad White there. I mean, he's, I don't know about you, I think he's having a superb season. First season in the NFL, he's going well, isn't it?
When you saw him in, I know it's only Seahawks game, but it's really happened. But like Graham's saying, Leverett seems to have sort of slotted in really well. He's found his form. The whole O-line's just feeling a lot more connected to each other and playing as one, which is what we've sort of been missing through the beginning of the season, that now they're in a place where, they're creating holes. He's got the ability to make those cuts and find that hole, whereas Lenny, we all love Lenny, but he is a lot more of a steamroller. He's just going to, he'll get the short yards, he'll get the yards that he's going to, knock out a couple of players on the way, whereas Rashad White, he did that stiff arm, obviously, but he's got the quick feet to find the cut and make the hole and make the big play. So the 1-2 punch of them seems to be working out perfectly. Now we've gone to the rhythm. It is weird when people talk about the divorce of Tom Brady and Giselle, but since that moment, Brady has seemed to have had that weight taken off his shoulders, and he even seems to be playing a lot better and a lot more connected to the team. We seem to have, once all of that pressure has been released, he seems to have stepped up back into where, the whole team seems to have stepped into a place where we wanted them to be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. I mean, I'm going to erase that horrific trick play that I saw us attempting in Munich, and we'll just forget that didn't happen. But no, I definitely see what you're saying there, Pete. And another stat I was looking at, I'm just wondering what you gents think about this. Now, as I said, Cleveland are 3-7. Their last seven games, they've lost six of them. Their confidence is going to be an issue here. We're coming on the back of a win. We've had the bye week to get fresh. They've had what I can only describe as a battering game against the Bills, not in terms of the score. They weren't battered by any way in the score, but it was a tough game for them. I mean, I'd like to think that that's going to give us the upper edge. Normally with a bye week, you've got to think that we're going to be the favourites on this one.
Yeah, I think interesting, we talk about injuries, and everyone has injuries during this season. We've had them very early, and we're starting to get our guys back now. I mean, virtually our entire first-choice defensive backfield has been injured again through the first half of the season, but they're all coming back now, and I'm not going to bet against Ryan Jensen making an appearance before December's out either. I think it's all about how you finish a season. It's not how you start a season. So Philadelphia and these guys, fine, great start, playing really well, but if the injury bug starts hitting them at just the wrong time, that's where it's going to count.
And you mentioned Ryan Jensen there, obviously, very encouraging images on social media recently. He's not got a brace on. He is walking around on his own weight. That could be an interesting return, really, couldn't it? Because, of course, we want to see Ryan Jensen back at centre. That's no debate. We know what he brings to the team. Excuse me. But, Pete, I think it was you that was saying this about the O-line beginning to gel. Could that... I'm just playing devil's advocate with you here a little bit. Could there potentially be a bit of unsettlement there? Jensen's not been for the season. This O-line's trying to connect and work with Brady. Then it's all got to start again in a way, hasn't it? But we know how professional Ryan Jensen is.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It could, just for the rookies, obviously, and the people he hasn't lined up against. But I imagine he's still in the centre a lot. So I can imagine, you know, at the Advent Health Training Centre, I can imagine he's still around a lot. I don't think he's somebody who would just be at home recuperating. I can imagine he's still in the room talking, going over stuff with people, trying to help them develop their game. So I can, he's a proper leader. So I can imagine he would still have made himself useful to try and help them. So there should still be a little bit of connection, even if he hasn't lined up against them. I think the worst part will be the fact that Hainsey, with the way that Leverett's playing, is that Hainsey's probably going to end up on the bench and not sliding across because he's not needing to slide across. So that will be interesting. But he becomes, you know, great depth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge bonus for us. Again, coming into this part of the season, the depth in the offensive line is going to be fantastic. And you ask any coach if they've got too many good players, never. If you've got guys backups who are good enough to start, that's a great situation to be in.
And for me, Ryan Jensen's return will be similar to Vita Vea's return during our Super Bowl season. You know how much that changed. Like I said, I was asking a sort of devil's advocate question to you there, Pete. But you know, of course, I want to see Ryan Jensen back in the centre. You know, like I said, Hainsey's done a great job while he's been there. But if you're giving me a choice between him and Jensen, you know, I'm going Jensen any day of the week. You know,
there's absolutely no doubt that Jensen walks straight into that absolutely team as able to do it.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Especially when you consider the relationship he's built with Tom Brady as well, and how quickly he built that relationship when Tom Brady came to Tampa. You know, it didn't take long for him and Jensen to, you know, get on the same page. And you know, I'm sure I remember one of the first videos of Tom Brady training or practicing with us with the Bucks was him taking snaps from Jensen to start that communication.
Yeah, at the high school, he was teaching him how to fold the towel before the season had started. They were already at the high school, and he was teaching him how to fold the towel properly to make sure that, you know, he doesn't have swamp ass or whatever it was.
Graham, two players on the Cleveland side I do want to chat about, because we know how dangerous they really can be. And that is, of course, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, defensive ends there. You know, we've got Tristan Wirfs on the right side versus we've got Donovan Smith, who, you know, I was one of Donovan Smith's biggest critics going back a few seasons ago. I think he's come on leaps and bounds. But if there's something that does worry me, it's these two coming off the edge. Especially, we know how immobile Brady is. He's not we saw that in Seattle. You know, we got to stop those two, surely.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head though. We've got two very good ends there. And I mean, Wirfs has gone, I saw something and I wish I'd remembered the number now, but it's hundreds and hundreds, about 400 and something snaps without allowing a pressure. It's astonishing how good he is on that right side.
Amazing.
And Smith having, well, touch wood, you know, got over all these the penalties that used to, you know, holding penalty after holding penalty. He's turned into one of our better offensive linemen as well. So I'm quite happy. I don't think there are many who can you know, take a loan of those two and cause too many problems. What they may do is try to use that to get pressure on the inside and the weaker, you know, guard position. But I think the offensive line's playing well enough now to keep these guys under control.
I think I saw Myles Garrett's having like a 90-plus rated season, and Jadeveon Clowney's only having like a 70 sort of rated season. So Clowney's not really... he's always going to be a threat, because obviously any player's a threat, but he's not really having that good of a season at the moment. So hopefully it sticks, you know, stays that way and he doesn't...
Just do what Lenny did to Micah Parsons at Parsons in the Cowboys game when he absolutely you call it a chip block or whoever you want, but you absolutely flattened him. So that's probably what you need, a little bit of help from the fullback and the tight ends if they're giving you problems. But
I think Keith seems to be doing a great job as a blocking tight end.
You read my mind there. I was going to say, could we see like I say, Coe Keith and maybe Kay Dotton, might they come in? I'm not sure what Carl Rudolph's status is, but he obviously missed the game in Munich, so I'm not sure where he's up to at the minute.
I think he's got as many catches as me this season.
But, no, but even if he's not used as a catching tight end, to have him as a blocker, you know, would still be beneficial. And Cam Bate as well. We know how useful he can be when it comes to the run game and blocking. So we might see some more tight ends in formation.
I mean, it's a last resort to have to use these guys. The more tight ends you have who are catching the ball, then the more weapons that Brady has. So really, it's a last resort. I think that the offensive line's playing well enough now that the five of them can handle, you know, the four or five guys who are coming at them.
We did well enough against Aaron Donald. Do you know what I mean? We managed to keep him quite contained, I think, a lot of the time. So I think we should be able to do. Myles Garrett's a little bit different because I always think he's sort of slimmer, more athletic. But if we've only got one person to worry about, that's a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I don't disagree with you guys there at all. But I mean, you know, I'm looking, you know, obviously we've got Mike Evans there, we've got Chris Godwin, you know. So even if we did have to bring more tight ends into block, it does reduce the weapons Brady's got. You know, I'm going to look at that and go, it's all right. We've got Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer. We've got Chris Godwin, who's got, in my opinion, some of the safest hands in the game. You know, I still think we can do something there.
Hopefully, I can stay healthy and keep contributing to that. Even if it's just one play for a touchdown, I'll be happy with that.
Absolutely. One player that was mentioned earlier, I mean, I'm not sure how much we can really say about him because we're not going to see him on Sunday. The Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, has already come out and said that it is Jacoby Brissett starting. Deshaun Watson will not be playing in the game. I mean, he will be allowed to be on the sideline. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to be. Could that rile the crowd up a little bit? Everyone knows why he was suspended. You know, could it have? We're not Browns fans. We're just talking hypothetically here. We're guessing here. Could that have a negative effect for Cleveland, Pete? And hopefully, you know, give us another edge there. You know, you take any edge you can get in the NFL.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know what the relationship between him and Jacoby Brissett's like, and obviously when you're both sort of gunning for the same job and you've been sat on the sideline for all this time in suspension and stuff, it's going to force you to have to step up a little bit and either become a decent teammate and, you know, be there helping him understand what he needs to do, or you go the opposite way and you try to, you know, make sure the job's yours when you're off suspension. So it'll be interesting. It could be interesting with him on the sideline, see how he, you know, how he reacts.
Yeah, I don't know if as he said, he's not actually going to be even as backup. If he's not stripped and he's not playing, that's fine. I mean, if he was in as number two, I would suggest that we don't beat them by too much in case they throw him in there at some point in the game.
But I think he's suspended until he can't play till week 13 or something.
Is it 13? I wasn't.
Oh, sure 13. I thought he was eligible to return this week.
I was looking on just a second. I was looking on Fantasy because somebody was trying to trade him to me, and I was like, I don't want him.
Hey, please tell me you rejected that trade.
Yeah, I rejected it. It's because I had the Cardinals. You know, Kyler Murray went down. I had the Cardinals up.
Right. Yeah.
It says.
Oh dear.
It says he's suspended, and it said somewhere he's eligible to return to practice this week.
Oh, right.
But he won't make his debut. He'll make his debut week 13 against the Texans.
Right. Okay. Blimey. Oh, of course. Yes, that was all. Yes, now you say that. Of course, against his old team. That was the whole. Another reason why it all kicks up, of course. Yeah. So, James, let's round off this part of the show by, of course, getting our score predictions, as we always do for the Buccaneers' upcoming games. Graham, I'm hoping you got a Bucs win, but let's see what you're going for.
For me, I'm going for 27-14
for the Bucs.
I think Brady's starting to throw touchdown passes now, and I think we'll run one in as well. I think, and I'd like to see Rashad White get on the score sheet. I'd like definitely. To see him tuck a few.
Yeah, that'd be great there. And Pete, what's your score prediction?
I've gone 36-14 because, again, I think there's always a lull in the game where we let them in for that third quarter to just get one touchdown. And, you know, there's always times where they might get a field goal. But, I think we're going to have fun in this one. I think there's going to be, it feels like after the Munich trip and after the bye, we had a bit of rest. Everyone should come back in high spirits and ready to go. I think we should have fun with this one.
Yeah, we're all thinking along the same lines. I've gone 31-14 to the Bucks. So yeah, we're all on the same page. Absolutely, I agree with you there, Pete. What you said, a bit of fun. Me, it was a great trip. Fresh off the bye week, I like to think we're going to go and get something here. Okay, brilliant. That's so we'll go into what we think about the last. Great, I enjoyed that, by the way, guys. That was a great chat there. Really good. So we're going to what we just think about the season to be going forward now.
Just go over to just say the what game's coming up, and then we'll just have fun. Literally say a couple of words about.
Absolutely, and also if there's any player, if there's any players you're looking forward to seeing. So you know, I want to see Cade Otten, for example. Come, I'm looking forward to seeing him more, for example. So if there's a player you're looking forward to seeing a bit more, or something like that, then yeah, we'll just quickly go into that. Okay. Excuse me. So okay, gents, let's come to the final segment of the show this week, and let's just have a quick look ahead to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' remaining games of the season. So we start, as we've been saying, we start with the visit to Cleveland. Then we've got New Orleans coming to Tampa. I think we're all looking forward to that one for various reasons. Then a visit to the Bay. We're going to play San Francisco before Cincinnati come to Ray J. Then we're going to Arizona. And then two NFC South matchups to round off the season. Firstly, against Carolina. And then we go to Atlanta in week 18. Pete, what sort of anything stand out for you with those games upcoming? Is there any players on the Bucs side that you're hoping will take the next step in the season?
It's mainly just the 49ers game. The 49ers and then the Bengals the week after. That's sort of where I'm feeling at the moment, a little bit worried, because 49ers are on a really hot streak, it feels, with how they're playing. They feel really solid defensively. And then the Bengals, they just keep seem to be putting up like loads of points. They're a bit like we were in the Super Bowl year. They just keep, you know, they feel like they keep always putting the big points out. So they're the two that I'm a little bit, you know, nervous about, just because you never know how they're going to turn up. But other than that, the Cardinals seem like they're a bit hit and miss. The Saints, I mean, they've got Olave, and that's about all they seem to really be doing. I don't know if they're going to, yeah, they keep running with Dalton, but you know, you don't know why, whether James's injuries, you know, after surgery, still bad and he can't really get back in the game. Yeah. And then hopefully redemption against the Panthers.
It's interesting what you say about Cincinnati, because I'm just looking at their last five games, which they've won four of them. And in the game, in the four games they've won, the lowest points they put up is 30, and the highest they put up is 42, and that's in that's in the last four. So I can see why you're highlighting Cincinnati there as a big game on that one. Graham, what stands out for you in with the Bucks running?
Yeah, I think similarly the three games that we've got and the within our own division, you're just never quite sure what's going to happen in any of those games. I mean, we've been kind of, I think we beat the Saints earlier, didn't we? And then lost to the Panthers. Falcons have been kind of blowing hot and cold, but when they're blowing hot, they're playing well. We've got some great wins this season. So these are going to be difficult games, but I think we can win all of those. Again, I can't disagree with Pete. I think the tough one's going to be San Francisco, without a doubt. And Cincinnati, a very high scoring points team. So, but I think again, I think we've got the guys to do it. And for me, I'm looking after the Seattle game, I'm looking at Rashad White as being the guy for us. I think I really, really hope that in the next six, seven games that he can kind of blossom and be given the opportunity. I know that you know, Lenny struggled a little bit, partly by the play calling, but I do think he kind of, watching him, there was always a little stutter step just before he hit the line, whereas Rashad White seems to find his way through. He finds a hole and goes for it. So I think you go with whoever's hot. And if White is starting to prove the guy that, you know, then you give him most of the handoffs and Lenny becomes the backup. And that's just the way it has to work. And that's the way Lenny got into the team in Super Bowl year. You know, he worked his way into the team from backup, because I think there were a couple of injuries. Rojo got injured and, you know, and he got in by default and just didn't let go of it. So I think that's, I'm hoping that Rashad White just picks up the ball and runs with it now. Yeah, and if he does, if we've got a good running game, there's no one stopping us because Tom Brady's just going to throw touchdown passes and Mike Evans is going to get 2,000 yards this season.
Oh, yes, please.
It's interesting that we've brought, Gino Bernard's just, he's just been brought off IR. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how they're planning on stepping him into the team.
Thought to be the third down guy, wasn't it?
Exactly what he was, when we just
seems a bit redundant at the minute.
Especially when you look at, Keyshawn Bourne's not had many touches at all this season, but I think the couple he has had, he's done well with those touches. You know, he's shown that he is capable of being that third down back. Yeah. Do you stick with the youth or do you go with Bernard's experience?
He was brought in at the Seahawks game, wasn't he? Rashard, Keyshawn Bourne, when Lenny had his hip. Hurt his hip in the second half. So he played and did well. It's not like he fumbled or anything.
No, and that's ultimately what we talk about, isn't it? Ball security. You know, if you're going to do anything, just don't lose possession of the ball, for goodness sake. Don't turn it over. You know, that's what was killing us previously. In memory this season, I don't think our turnovers have been dreadful by any stretch of the imagination. If I look back on our first half of the season, it's been classic Bucks killing Bucks when we have lost. You know, look at the Pittsburgh game when we lost 2018. You know, it's these fine margins. I will be honest, I can't remember my predictions completely, but I think I had us going something like 12 wins, I think. I can't remember for sure. I think it was something along those lines. Now, I was confident that we were going to beat Carolina. I thought we were going to beat Pittsburgh. We didn't. I'm a little bit... I think I'm turning to Kieran a little bit here. I am a little bit sceptical going into the second half of the season. Yes, we come off the bye week. Yes, hopefully Ryan Jensen is coming back. And if he is coming back, I think, like I said earlier in the show, I genuinely think that will be a Vita Vea-like return, but on the offensive side for us. I think that he will make a huge difference. Agree with you, but to be honest,
Alex, sorry to cut in there, but
no, go for it.
If you think about it, we've got, is it 7 games left now?
Mm.
We only need to win 5 and we've won the division because Atlanta would have to win all 7 to beat us.
Yeah, so, no, true.
You know, we should win the division even with 5 wins.
You're right. We should, but I mean, you know, I look at how, you know, we're 500 on the season. You know, which
on the up.
On the up, absolutely, on the up. But we know how I'm being missing adjective here. I'm thinking about the negatives here. No, I'm just thinking how
you're
easy this can turn.
I am.
Is it? Honestly, I'm looking at these score lines on ESPN.
You need to get some of Pete's 17-0.
I'm looking at these score lines on ESPN. There are other statistics sites available. We do not endorse ESPN. Just want to point that out. We went 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 win, 3 losses, 2 wins. We've been really up and down this season. That's why I'm just so skeptical. We just can't get into a rhythm.
I think it's our second win. I think after after Brady's divorce and after the Seahawks game and then this bye week, I really feel like this will be a big test to us to see where we're at with the Browns game, not in terms of playing against a solid team, but just in terms of to see whether the play calling's got better, because we saw some imagination. Didn't fully play off in Munich, but we saw some pages being turned and they opened it up a bit more. There was a bit more happening. So this could really be our second wind and we could be the team that we were, you know, the Super Bowl year and put up some big scores.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how we go forward.
Rhetorical question. We won't go into it. But who on earth was calling the plays from the second quarter onwards in Munich? I just leave that with people. If anyone knows, you can tell me, because I'm pretty damn sure that wasn't Byron Leftwich, but that's a completely different discussion. I will say just very quickly, one player I really want, I've been enjoying watching this season. I can't wait to see what happens in the second half of the season for him, is Cade Otton. I am very quickly becoming a big fan of that young man. You know, he's been nicknamed Baby Gronk by a few people already. I think he's quickly becoming a favourite of Tom Brady's as well as another target. So I can't wait. I think we've got a great player in Cade Otton. You know, what a pick he was.
Yeah, I think he really looks exciting. Really smooth when he's making a catch. He just glides through it, catches the ball, and continues the run. It just looks so smooth. I agree with you. I think he could be a really good find.
And you said about Rashad White as well, Graham. Again, another player I'm quickly becoming a big fan of. Now I think recently, if we look at our drafts as well, we can say we've really got some quality young talent in those drafts. And again, we could discuss that for hours and hours about the good players we've got out of the draft recently. But I think we can still safely say that the future is looking good for the Buccaneers. It really, really is. We know Tom Brady's going to go soon, but we will have to replace him. We will have to find a new franchise quarterback. But we've got the weapons around there that if we find the right guy, you know, I think we can still go for it. You know, people were saying, oh, it's going to be a massive rebuild once Tom Brady goes. I'm not sure it's going to be as big as people probably think.
I think the big issue when Tom Brady goes is that we've kind of got a window just now which is about to close on us in terms of the cap.
There's
a lot of dead cap space coming in the next two or three seasons, and that's what's going to hurt us. But what helps us in that respect is the fact that we have got some good rookies, which won't cost us a lot through the next two or three years. So if you've got guys like White and Otton and three or four others who are coming through and playing well in the first team, that helps the cap situation.
And another thing, just to say also, you know, I don't think, you know, people saying Tom Brady's losing it. I'm not buying that. I'm sorry. His footballing brain is still as good as it ever was. He can read.
Yeah. His arm strength is still there.
Absolutely. I'm not buying it at all. I think if he wants to go for another year, I think he could easily play in the centre for us for another year.
Yeah,
100%. So, gents, we will bring this episode to a close. Thank you for joining me. It's been wonderful to discuss Buccaneer football with you. You guys who tuned in, thank you ever so much for watching or listening. If you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, we will be back for our next episode. Enjoy the game against Cleveland. As I said, it is a 6 p.m. kickoff here in the UK. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Come on.